Romans chapter 5 this morning. Today, we're going to look at Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11. Our last time to be together, tomorrow morning, we'll look at Romans chapter 5, 12 through 21. Romans chapter 5, a beginning of the third division in my outline of the book of Romans. You'll recall, after an introduction, the first 17 verses of chapter 1, that included salutation from, to, greetings. Paul prayed a prayer of thanksgiving for the church at Rome. We then considered the theme of this Roman epistle that's being developed throughout the rest of the letter. We considered Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17 as the theme of the entire epistle. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The power of God unto salvation to them that believe. In fact, the one who is justified by faith shall live. Paul now begins to unwrap and develop that basic theme. The first major division, chapter 1, verse 18 to chapter 3, verse 20. The wrath of God has been revealed against them. And we all say, well, the way they live, wrath should be revealed. The them, the they of life. And then Paul says, but the wrath of God has been revealed against you. In fact, we all are under the wrath of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And Paul has presented his argument in such a way that would bring the vilest Gentile and the most modest and moral Jew and everyone in between, brought them all under the same umbrella, that every mouth would be closed. And we have to admit the wrath of God is revealed against all. The one who is just, right, the one who is justified by faith shall live. The one who is right, in right standing, shall live by faith. And chapter 1, verses 18 to chapter 3, verse 20, showed us the need for being in right standing. The wrath of God is revealed. That led to major division number 2. Chapter 3, verse 21 through chapter 4, verse 25. The righteousness of God has been made manifest. The righteousness of God, like the gospel of God, is a person-centered message. It's a manifestation of Jesus Christ, what he did on Calvary's cross. It's a new exodus. It's a new way to appease the wrath of God. Through Jesus Christ, God is seen as the right and the writer, the just and the justifier, through the work, death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who put their faith in the work of Christ, just, right, we change from wrath to the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And chapter 3 concludes, where's boasting in all of this? It's nothing we've done. Through a work of law? No. A new law, a law of faith, has been instituted. If chapter 1, verse 18 to chapter 3, verse 20 showed the need for being in right standing, chapter 3, verse 21 to chapter 4, verse 25 shows us the way to right standing. So now we're ready for main part number 3. The one who is justified or made right by faith shall live. And so, in the words of Francis Schaeffer, how then shall we live? And chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 are a description of new life by faith in Christ. What's it like to live this new life? What is it like to live on the positive side of God's ledger book? New life in Christ Jesus. And chapter 5 is our first description of life. Now, in the classroom, I would sort of help the students by suggesting it is life free from. And then I'd ask them to read the first 11 verses of chapter 5 and see if they can come up with a word or a phrase that would describe this life. And they come up with several suggestions. But my eye has been drawn to chapter 5, verse 9. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified or made right by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. What is new life in Christ Jesus like? What is living on the positive side of God's ledger book like? It's life free from wrath. Life free from the wrath of God. Life free from wrath. Chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8 would have other descriptive words to describe this life. And so, we're going to talk to you this morning and tomorrow morning, what is it like living life free from wrath? We're going to read chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character. Proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. One will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. One of the most powerful paragraphs that Paul has written in this Roman epistle. In fact, the entire chapter is quite a challenge. Let's go back and look at verse 1 just for a minute. Verse 1. It begins with that familiar therefore. Whenever we find a new section beginning with therefore, we ask, what is it considering? What is it taking into consideration? It could be the previous section. This is going to be main part number 3. It could be main part number 2. Therefore, in light of the fact that the righteousness of God has been made manifest. Therefore, in light of that, it could be, therefore, in light of both first and second main division in the book of Romans. Therefore, in light of the fact that although the wrath of God has been revealed, the righteousness of God has been made manifest. Therefore, considering both of those, how then shall we live? Therefore, notice having been justified by faith. The tense of this is in the past. Having been, in light of moving from the negative side of the ledger to the positive side, having been made right by faith. You'll recall, the one who is made right by faith shall live. Having moved from the negative side of the ledger to the positive, moving from wrath of God to the righteousness of God, having been made right by faith, that transition, that moment of moving from the negative side of God's ledger book to the positive, we call this conversion. We call this new birth. We call this being born again, having been made right by faith in the past, at some moment in the past. We have, present tense, we have now certain qualities, certain benefits. The past, having been born again. And if we stopped right here and just began a testimony meeting, we could hear testimony after testimony. You, many of you, could name place, time, preacher, or moment in life when you were made right in God's eyes by faith. Morning prayer meeting earlier this week, I think it was missionary day, Dr. Doug Carter was at the altar praying, and he said, as a 17-year-old boy, at that point at the altar, he felt God's call to missionary work. He knew the moment. He knew the place. He knew the circumstances. It's as if it happened just yesterday. And we all know Doug Carter is older than 17.
So it didn't just happen yesterday.
I apologize.
But having been made right, we have in the present peace. Peace with God. I needn't remind you that if there is one quality that our world today desperately hungers for, it's peace. We have a Secretary of State, Mr. Kerry. I don't know that the man is ever home. I think he's on the road as much, if not more, than Benny Tate. He is all over this world putting his finger in the hole of a dike, hoping that a flood of violence and war will not break out. And he's all over the place. He is trying, and others with him, peace. And Paul says, for the one individual who was under the wrath of God, but now has been made right by faith, this person knows the peace with God. Peace with God. In fact, was it not Dr. Tate in one of his messages talking to his mom, and now the 17-year-old, tossing and turning night after night, no rest, no peace, until he finally told his mom he needed to accept Christ as his Savior, and they called the pastor. Peace with God. Whatever is going wrong around on the outside, no matter, despite what world circumstances may look like, Paul says individuals can know peace with God. We have it. We have peace with God. Now, hymnody confirms good theology. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Flow over my spirit forever, I pray. The peace with God. And once an individual experiences peace with God, they'll never turn back. They'll never want to give it up. They'll never want to walk away from peace with God. Now, notice what peace with God brings with it. Certain privileges by being made right by faith through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. We have an introduction by faith into grace. All of a sudden, we become citizens of the grace way, God's unmerited favor. Long ago, I gave up wanting justice. I want God's grace. If we demanded justice, ladies and gentlemen, all we like sheep have gone astray. And there's none that doeth righteous, no, not one. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God, and we are introduced into the grace way, God's unmerited favor. And I suggest to you this morning that nothing delights the heart of God than to deal graciously with his people. It just flows from God. It just flows to you. It just flows. It bathes us over and over and over. The grace way. An introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. I take my stand on the grace side. I take my stand under the umbrella of God's unmerited favor that He graciously bestows. On one occasion, Martin Luther wrote 95 theses, nailed them to the Wittenberg door, and said, "Here I stand." As a Christian believer, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. An introduction into God's graciousness. And we take our stand on God's unfailing grace to us. Here's where we stand. And notice, we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Verses 1 and 2. Past, present, future. Past, we have been made right with God by faith. Born again, new birth, past. Present, we have peace with God. Future, hope. Hope. Past, present, future. Calvary covers it all. Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ shed for the salvation of a lost world addresses past, present, future. Paul says we have this. This is what it means to live this new life. The one who is justified by faith shall live a new life where past has been forgiven. Peace is now our present reality, and we have bright hope for tomorrow. That is our inheritance. Now, if we would stop at verse 2, we would sing a rousing chorus of "Since I am now a new child of God, I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. I'm right standing with God by faith. I have peace with God. I have bright hope for tomorrow." And I'm thankful that verse 3 picks up the rest of the story. It brings a sense of reality to what it means to live this present day awaiting the future. Now look how verse 3 begins. And not only this. Every time I read that, I think of the television commercials. 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody is trying to sell the latest wax or a chamois or something or other. And not only this, but we're add this. And not only that, we're going to double it. Paul breaks out in that kind of a scenario here. Being in right standing with God, we have peace. We have a hope. And that's not all. Because that's not the all of life. And sometimes life takes various twists and turns. And we've got to be able to live in the twists and turns of life. So look at verse 3. Not only this,
past, present, future.
Not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations.
This is the same word, tribulations. This is the same word that Jesus uses in John chapter 16. In the world, you will have trouble, tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Same word. We exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance produces proven character. Proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. And so, in the words of Paul Harvey, we now get the rest of the story of what it means to live this new life. Pardon me. The rest of the story is tribulation and perseverance. There's a life to be lived, and there are issues to be faced day by day. How then shall we live? We shall live triumphantly. We shall live exalting, praising, worshiping, even in the midst of this. Our tribulations bring about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character. Proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Now, why? How do we know that in the things of life, God is working for good? How do we know that? In all things, God is at work for good. Dr. Tate spoke about that a couple days ago. How do we know in all things? In the good things, we can see the good. But how do we know in tribulation and all this other stuff of life? How do we know that that works for good? Because Paul's going to give us two reasons why. Number one, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given us. The love of God. How do I know God loves me in the midst of tribulations of life? How do I know the love of God is still coming to me and through me? Because the Holy Spirit witnesses to my own heart and life. In the midst of the negativity of life, God loves you. You're still God's man and God's woman. God is still on your side. Trust. Keep on believing. Keep on having faith. The work of the Holy Spirit. And notice, the Holy Spirit comes into the person's life being made right by faith in Jesus Christ, born again. Right at that moment, right at that decisive moment, the Holy Spirit enters and begins His work within us. And one of the things He convinces us is, God loves you. Be not dismayed. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. He loves you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. How do I know God loves? The work of the Holy Spirit, which has been poured out within our hearts. But there's another reason that we know God loves us. Jump down to verse 8.
In the midst of the issues of life, God loves you. How do I know that? The Holy Spirit within bears witness with my own human spirit that I am His and He is mine and God still loves. But verse 8 gives me another reason. Look at verse 8. But God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do I know God loves? God loves because He gave His only begotten Son. He not only gave His only begotten Son to the world, but He gave His only begotten Son to the cross. Why? Love. He demonstrates His love toward us. Now notice the us here. The us. Who exactly would be included in the us? Well, go back to verse 6. Ungodly. Look at verse 8. Sinners. Look at verse 10. Enemies. There's a fourth one here and I'm missing it. Oh, verse 6. Helpless. So here are the four. Helpless. Ungodly. Verse 6. Verse 8. Sinners. Verse 10. Enemies. That's the us that God loved and demonstrated His love by sending His Son into the world and further to the cross of Calvary. Amazing love. How can it be? How can it be? Maybe someone might die for a good person, give up his life for a good person, but the us are helpless, ungodly, sinners, and enemies. And He did it anyway. Now the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit and mine as new believers. God loves. God loves you. Keep on believing that. Keep on holding for. But in actual history, at a point in time, God demonstrated His love toward us. And frankly, we weren't worth dying for. We weren't worth it. We didn't deserve it. We did nothing to merit it. That's why it's by grace, through faith, motivated by the love of God, that this new life is possible. Well, look at verse 9. If it's possible, and we're almost overwhelmed asking, can there be anything else? Much more than, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. How shall we live? How now shall we live on the right side of the ledger book We shall live life free from wrath. Now, the wrath of God has been revealed against all mankind because all we have sinned. We're under the wrath of God. And so at conversion, born again, new birth takes me from under the wrath of God. As I move from the negative side of the ledger book to the positive side, as God reckons faith, we move from wrath to peace. But this phrase also has a future reference to it. The wrath of God, final day of judgment, final day of reckoning. Save from the wrath of God now, because we have peace. And someday, saved from the wrath of God, because we are new people in Christ Jesus. We're on God's side, saved from the wrath of God. Now look at verse 10. We shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved from the wrath of God by his life. That's why the resurrection is so important, and that's why the Christian teaching of the resurrection is so important. Because he lives, we too shall live. Because Christ overcame the grave and lives, we too shall live. We shall be saved by his life. In the 70s, for about a period of 16 months, I would make a monthly journey to a little community church pastored by one of our denominational men in a little community about 2 hours away from Circleville. He was active in National Guard, and once a month had duty, and so he asked me to come up for morning service. In this community, in its former days, this church was a Unitarian church. It had been closed. It remained closed for several years. Frank Summerfield moved to this area and found an empty church and opened it up and started a community church. And as you would imagine, some of the former Unitarians came back to their church. Other people from the community came as well. Well, I would go up once a month and try to lead the worship with these people. On one occasion, it's Easter Sunday. Not knowing any better, on Easter Sunday, I had a sermon on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I thought it was somewhat appropriate. After the service, the church is empty. The organist and I have picked up a few things, and we are walking down the aisle to leave the church. She looked at me and said, "David, do you believe all that stuff?" I said, "Well, what, Ruthie?" "Oh, no, all this resurrection stuff. Do you really believe that?" I said, "Well, yes, Ruth, I do." And she said, "I thought it was just something we said we believed in because we were Christians." And Paul says, we shall be saved from the wrath of God by his life. I serve a risen Savior. He lives. He lives. That's why we sang that this morning. We shall be saved by his life. And I suggest to you, when a people give up hope in the resurrected Lord, they have no hope for the future themselves. They have given it up. That's why this is so important. Well, how now shall we live? And I'm sure this is just the tip of the iceberg of this chapter. Two closing thoughts to try to bring it all together. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. God took note of it, and in an accounting term way, reckoned it to him as righteousness. I want you to think with me now of two worlds that we can live in. The old, the new. God's got a record book. And each one of us are in the old, are the new. And someday, the books are going to be opened, right? The books are going to be open. Old, new. As far as ledger is concerned, debt reckoned, and I'm out of debt. I'm on the positive side. Negative, positive. Old, new. Negative, positive. Wrath of God, righteousness of God. Works of law, law of faith. Helpless, sinner, ungodly. Remember Sarah, Genesis 11, barren, helpless, powerless, ungodly, sinner, no hope, no future. Saved, reconciled, made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Wrath of God, free from the wrath of God. How now shall we live? And aren't you glad that I have decided by faith in Jesus Christ to move to the positive side of the ledger book? And we have, not only in this life, but a hope for tomorrow. How now shall we live? Live free from the wrath of God. That's what it means. On a Thursday, July 14th at Taylor, that's what it means to be living the Christian life, God's life for us. There is one word that keeps reoccurring in these 11 verses, and that's the word exalt. Now, we have already seen that they, that you, in fact, all of us, got into problems with God and under the wrath of God because of boasting and wrong worship. We put our trust in a secondary rather than the ultimate. And worship we have decided something or someone is the ultimate in our life. And that's what we worship and that's what we boast in. Chapter 3, after the way of the righteousness of God being revealed in Jesus Christ has been described. Where then is boasting? There's no boasting. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And now in chapter 5, Paul comes very close to boasting again. But it's the word exalt. You don't exalt self. You exalt him. We exalt God. We worship God. We exalt in joyful expression of worship to him. And that's a whole different thing than boasting in self and what we can try to accomplish. And Paul says, how now shall we live? We should live joyfully, exalting God, praising God. And we've heard this over and over again, and we know it. Christian people should be the most happy people in the world. We should be. Because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us and what God is doing for us every day of our life. Exalt, magnify, worship him for his goodness to us. Well, Father, there's a lot here in these 11 verses for us to consider. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to sort some things out and finalize some ideas and draw our attention to where it should be drawn. But we thank you for the fertile field of Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11. The one who is justified, made right by faith, shall live. And the Christian life is a life worth living today. The greatest thing that ever happened to my life was coming to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. He literally moves from the negative side of the ledger book to the positive side. New life. And he finds himself singing every day, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Thank you, Father, for the reality of that truth this day. Help us on the campgrounds this day to honor one another and to show love and goodness to each other and kindness. And may, Father, as we experience further services and the proclamation of your word, may we find ourselves being enriched over and over again by the truth of the gospel. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.